Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you don't mind, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We are traveling through this wonderful book of the Word of God, the book of Ephesians, and traveling through it as the Apostle Paul has given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to try to encourage this church that he loves so much. And remember, the grand theme of the book of Ephesians is to give glory to God by the church. And the greatest way to give glory to God through the church is to have unity in the church. And as we've already explained through the series, how does a church have unity? By everyone keeping their eyes on the Lord. And that if you're looking towards the Lord and I'm looking towards the Lord, we're going to be going the same place, the same direction, looking at the same goal, going towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't mind, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to finish off this series tonight and finish off this wonderful letter that the Apostle Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Notice with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18, the Word of God says this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also might know my affair and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace unto the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with them all, or all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And if you don't mind, in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice with me the phrase in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Notice the phrase, praying always. Praying always. And if you don't mind, as we finish off this series and in the context of spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God, I'd like to entitle this message, Advancing in the Fight with Prayer. Advancing in the fight with prayer. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you today, we're just asking that you would please open up our hearts and open up our minds. Lord, I'm asking that as we go through this, that it just wouldn't be just a message, but it would be a message that would provoke action, a message that would show us the importance of prayer and realize that we only travel as far in our Christian life as we do on our knees. Lord, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would have full liberty, that you would have full access to our hearts to be able to examine, to point out, to convict, and allow us the bravery and courage to deal with anything that needs to be dealt with. Lord, I'm asking that this would be used to advance this church in the fight, in the spiritual warfare, to have the power that you have up on high to give to us if we would just ask. Lord, let this series, let this message make sense. Let it be clear. Let it be understood. Lord, let it have your power. Once again, I recognize that I need you. So once again, I ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit, and that once again, you would do your own work today through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Advancing the fight with prayer. Remember in the context that we're talking about in the Ephesians chapter 6, we're dealing with the idea of spiritual warfare. And that if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whether you like it or not, you are in a war. That we have the enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And as we spoke about this morning, that how important it is to put on the whole armor of God. And we took time this morning to talk about each piece. But we understand that we could be prepared for the battle, and we could have the only offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. But if we were going to be honest, we would recognize the principle that we've tried to teach before. We cannot do God's work. Only God can do His work. And so we want results that come from God and not from man. So in order to get the results that come from God and not from man, God has to be involved. That just makes sense. And so the Bible reminds us once again that we're to pray always. You know, it's interesting that throughout the scripture, there is only one thing that God said that men ought always to do, and that is to pray and not to faint. Over and over, the Bible speaks about that we should pray always, in all things, making prayer and supplication. The Bible says it in so many different ways. It is a spiritual work. It is part of the spiritual plane. It is part of the spiritual battle. It is part of the thing that we have to fight with to let God get the power. That this is the one thing that we struggle with, is having that effective, heated, fervent prayer life. But when we put it in the context of the idea of spiritual warfare, how are we going to win the battle? Are you going to win the battle just because you put on the whole armor of God? Is the enemy going to run just because you have the breastplate of righteousness? Is the enemy going to flee because you have the helmet of salvation? Maybe you might even think that because I have the sword of the Spirit, they're going to run. You understand that the only way we're going to win the battle is if God does the fighting. That God must fight the battle for us. And in order for that to happen, we must pray. We must pray. And so if we, as the Riverview Baptist Church, are going to continue to see victories, it's not going to happen because of how handsome or beautiful we are. It is not going to happen because of how smart we think we are. It is not how much Bible knowledge we may think we possess. The way that this church is going to continue to advance on is if we pray and pray and pray and pray. That is the secret of winning the battle, is that it is not us, it is God. And in order for God to win the battle, we have the obligation, the responsibility of depending upon Him by praying. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to take this text here, and I'd like to explain about advancing in the fight with prayer. How do we advance in the fight with prayer? Well, first of all, in warring. In warring. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 18, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When we understand this phrase, this is dealing with the idea that we are to continue to pray to God, cognitive of His power, of His sufficiency, that God is enough, that God is able, that God is going. We understand that when we pray, we deal with three realms while we pray. There are three realms that are involved. First of all, if we're really going to be effective in prayer, if we're going to advance the fight in prayer, that we know this is our warfare, there are three realms that we are going to pray in. First of all, is the hidden place. The hidden place. Jesus talks about in the gospel record of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. It talks about that we are to go into the closet and pray. You understand that there are times that you need to get a hold of God. And you driving down the road trying to keep your eyes on the traffic and all this stuff is not the time to get alone with God. Now you should pray while you drive. But what we're talking about here is not prayer that, well, you know, I'm bored and I'm brushing my teeth, I might as well pray. It's talking about getting alone with God. And let me tell you, this is where we fail from the very beginning, is that we give God our leftovers. We try to multitask. Well, I could pray and do this, and I could pray and do this, and I could pray and do this, and I could play solitaire and pray, and I could Facebook and pray. Let me tell you, this is not the type of prayer that advances in the fight. We need closet prayer. It must be done in the hidden place. What do we mean by this? Does this mean that you go find your closet and close the door and say, leave me alone? Well, we're speaking figuratively. What we are speaking about is a place that you go to the Lord where the phone will not disturb you, where the TV does not distract you. It's a place where you could set aside all the things that your mind will wonder. And by the way, our minds do wonder. If you have Facebook right on your computer and you try to pray, guess what? Your mind's going to go, let me look at that. If you let your mind wander and you go, I wonder what this word means. Let me go look at this in the dictionary and start looking at that. You're not going to be a praying. This is talking about hiding yourself. Just you and the Lord. Getting alone with God. No distractions. No one else. You and the Lord. It is that private time with God that is going to advance in the fight. That we have to have the hidden place. Remember, I said that we have three realms that we're dealing with in this fight, in this battle of advancing, this warfare, that we have to have the hidden place. We also have to have the heavenly place. We have to have this heavenly place. And what we're speaking about here is that we're battling with the distractions. We're distracted with the thoughts, the other things that go on. You understand that you may be in your closet, but you have to understand that you're also entering the throne room of grace. You are standing before the God of the universe to speak to Him. Now, we have such a great God that He says, I want you to come. You come here and I'll give you my full undivided attention. But you know, sometimes when we pray, we forget that we're in the presence of God. We're in the heavenly place. We can go boldly to the throne room of grace. Now, it doesn't mean irreverently, but we can go boldly to the throne room of grace and speak to the God of heaven, the real God who wants to hear from us. And we can enter His throne room and be with Him and speak to Him. But when we're not realizing we're going to that heavenly place, that our bodies are there, but our minds are standing before God, and then we start getting distracted, and we start thinking about this, and then that song comes in our head, and this is the battleground. That it's not a thing where you approach the President of the United States, and you have your cell phone and say, hey, wait a second. You know, one more second. That's not appropriate, and that's not respectful. You understand? You're talking to the God of heaven, and you're trying to talk to Him. God, I need you! How disrespectful, how inappropriate it is to say, yeah, God, I need you, but hold on a second. They've got to do this. Wait. You understand? The battleground is in our mind. We are approaching the God of heaven. And we're to speak to Him. And we're to talk to Him. And we're to pour out our hearts. And we're to be with Him. And the most important thing about prayer is not our request. It's that we're with Him. To have that type of closet prayer. And to enter into His glory. And to have His Shekinah glory fill the room where there's times that you can't even speak, just utter and just say, God. You know, those times are almost too sacred to even talk about. But those times that we have with the Lord are far and few between. But they don't have to be. You understand that not only do we need to have the hidden place, we also realize that we're approaching the heavenly place. And we're talking to God. And we need to have our attention and devotion and adoration to Him in that time of prayer. You know, we realize that we're dealing with three realms when we're advancing the fight in prayer. This is a warfare. This is part of spiritual warfare. And we approach it in the hidden place without any distractions. We set ourselves so we could have our attention towards God. That we realize that we're in the heavenly place. That we can approach the throne room of grace boldly and speak to this wonderful God and be with Him. But we also understand that we also approach in the holy place, Notice again in verse number 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice this, in the Spirit. That all prayer ought to be in the Spirit. Now, what do we mean by this? Well, we explain about being filled with the Spirit in dealing with service and testimony, that we must die to ourselves and ask God to be in charge. When we realize that we need to pray in the Spirit, and by the way, that is a commandment, it's given a couple times, to pray in the Spirit, that means that we approach God and say, God, I died of what I want. You tell me how to pray. You understand that the Bible tells us we don't know how to pray as we ought, Romans chapter 8. You may think you do, but you know that we don't have all the information needed. We don't know how what God wants to get accomplished. We don't know what God is doing. We don't have all the information to make an informed decision. But God does. And so we can depend on God to say, God, I don't know how to pray for this situation. You teach me how to pray for so-and-so, for this situation, for this person over here, for this church, for us. How do I pray for me, God? And you want to know something? That God by His Spirit can lead you and how you ought to pray for yourself, how you ought to pray for others, how you ought to pray for your neighbor, how you ought to pray for your children. That the Holy Spirit can lead us in all these things. You understand that if we want God's power, then we also need God's wisdom. We need the way that God wants it done. We need to surrender to our thoughts, our ambitions, our desires, our goals, and say, God, I want what you want. Show me how I ought to pray. I don't know how to pray for the situation. Teach me to pray. Teach me how you want me to say this. Teach me what's going on. And you understand, when you enter into this intimate relationship with God, when you're in your hidden place, when you approach God in the heavenly place, and you're dependent in the Spirit with the holy place, you understand God is going to do amazing things. The Bible speaks about, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, it speaks about in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it goes through this awful list. You know that list is not talking about the lost world. You want to know something? Wicked people have always been wicked. You could go through history and actually find times in our history that is worse than the times that we're living in now. When it's speaking about in the last days, perilous time shall come, and it goes through that list. It's not speaking about wicked people. It's speaking about those that claim to be God's people. That in the last days, those shall walk worse and worse. And as you approach that list to the very end, one of the most powerful statements it has, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is the power? It's God's power. You understand, we live in a Christianity today that has no power. None. And you understand, our God still has all power. Why don't we have all power? Why? Where is this power? It's because we as God's people do not trust God, depend on God, pray for God, beg for God to be God. We try to handle it ourselves. We try to do it ourselves. We just go with the flow and say, oh, well, it's going to happen however it's going to happen. And we fail to get a hold of God. You understand, when you study the history of Christianity, when you study the history of people who were used of God, men and women who were used of God, and you study each and every one of them, it was done by prayer. When's the last time we saw drug addicts turn from their drugs and choose Christ? How does that happen? The power of God. How is it that drunkards turn away from their drink and become good fathers and good mothers? The power of God. When is it that people who are deep in sin turn? It does by the power of God. And to be honest, we are powerless today. We have so little power over our neighbors, so little power over our family, so little power over our coworkers. Why is it we have the lack of power? Because we don't get a hold of God in prayer. And we are missing out on the great power. God has not lost his power. It is not diminished one iota. It is his people that have failed to get a hold of him. And thus we do not see the victories that God desires for us to have. Because we fail to advance the fight in prayer in this special warfare of going in our knees. You understand, when you go back through history and you study the amazing things that happened, it happened because of prayer. There were some people that went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, and they heard about the great Charles Spurgeon, and these people traveled all the way from America to see this great preacher and to hear him and the great power that he had. And so they showed up before services, and they met someone in the foyer, and the man said, "Hey, you want to take a tour?" And they said, "Absolutely." And he began to give them a tour of the church and the things going on. And then some of the people said, "We've heard so much about Charles Spurgeon, and we have a question. What is his secret of his power? Where does it come from?" And he says, "Excellent, let me show you." And back then they had huge balconies. The Metropolitan Tabernacle of London had actually three balconies. It was huge. And the platform was raised up so everyone could see him clearly. And the man brought him to the side and took him to the side of the platform, opened a door, and he said, "Every Sunday morning, every time Charles Spurgeon preaches, 300 men are underneath that platform praying for the services." He says, that is the secret of Spurgeon's power. Those people went, "Wow, that's amazing. You know, that makes sense. It's God that does it." And as they walked out the door and going out, someone met them outside of the door and said, "Wow, what was it like to speak to Spurgeon?" And they looked. That was the man who was giving them a tour, Charles Spurgeon. He recognized where the power came from. It wasn't him. It was those people praying. You understand? Prayer is what does it. Prayer is the secret. You study every revivalist. You study every man of God, every woman of God who is used, and you see what was behind them. Prayer. Prayer. And we wonder, where is our power? Let me ask you the question, where is your prayer? We don't take the time to have closet prayer. We don't take the time to get us alone with God. We don't even take the time to die to self and depend on God to teach us and to show us how to pray. And then we wonder and we complain, where is our victory? Where is our power? We understand that advancing the fight in prayer, it starts off by warring in prayer. If you don't mind, let's look at also here, as we understand, how else do we advance the fight in prayer? We understand that it is in warring, that we have to take the time to get alone with God, to be with God, that it's God that gets the power, and we're going to have to fight to pray, fight to guard that time to pray. How else is it that we advance the fight in prayer? Not only in warring, but also in watching. And watching. Notice with me in verse 18 again. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That word "watch" means to fast from sleep. Fast from sleep. You understand that spiritual warfare is serious business. And there are some times to really get a hold of God, when you have that burden in your heart, sometimes it requires fasting from sleep, to pray, to get a hold of God, to walk around. You say, "You don't understand, my day is so busy." Well, then perhaps you need to take some time from sleep. And I know sleep is precious. But to have the power of God, to have the victory of God, to have what God can do, sometimes it will require fasting from sleep. Let me pose a question from you. You understand that many of us, from time to time, may complain, observe, that our nation is not on the right track, that there are many things wrong with it. You know, we spend a lot of time complaining and very little time praying. You know, if the state of our country or the revival of our country, the repentance of our country, was based off of your prayer life in the last month for our country, would our country be getting better? Or would it be getting worse because of the lack of prayers? You understand, we don't pray. We don't pray. And it is our fault. Our God has all power. But we don't take the time to prayer. We don't guard it. And there are times that God wakes you up at 3 a.m. because he wants to hear from you. There are sometimes that is a God waking you up in the morning because he wants to talk. Say, well, you know, I just want to roll over. Sometimes it's just waking up, but there's sometimes that God wants to get a hold of you. You understand, we need to be a type of people that are so sensitive to God's Holy Spirit that as soon as he prompts us, day, night, whatever, we are able to go and pray. If he wakes us up in the morning with a burden in our heart, pray. That when God puts someone in our mind while we're going through the day, take the time to pray. You understand, this is an intimate time of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will put people in our mind. Instead of complaining about them or thinking about what a bum they are, or the problems they have, and oh, I feel sorry for them. Pray! 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 You understand, so much is not getting fixed because we don't take the time to pray. You have not because you ask not. All failures are prayer failures. You don't get along with someone, you fail to pray. You have problems with people at work, you fail to pray. People around you are living in defeat and their lives are getting worse, it's a prayer failure. All failures are prayer failures. And it's because we don't war in prayer. We don't watch in prayer. You know, there's something else as we're talking about the idea of advancing the fight in prayer, dealing with spiritual warfare. And we understand that we have to war in prayer. We have to get alone with God and spend time with him. And that's a fight. But that's when the battle is going to be won. Not with us out in our armor. It is us on our knees that wins the fight. We have the time of watching. There are times that God, the Bible says that watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This carries the idea that we are setting this time aside. We're putting this time, things that we would like to do. We would like to rest. We would like to do this because we know that we have to pray and that this is important to pray. But also, there's one other thing. If we're going to advance the fight in prayer, it's also going to be prayer and witnessing. And witnessing. We see in warring, we're going to pray. In watching, we're also going to pray in witnessing. Notice the Apostle Paul as he continues on. He gives a prayer request to the church of Ephesus. And notice with me in verse 19. And for me. So he's still talking about prayer. And he's saying, and pray for me. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Notice that's twice that the Apostle Paul says, I want you to pray for me that I speak boldly. Now, let's go back to context just to even snap it into focus a little bit more. At the time that the Apostle Paul is writing this, he is in prison in Rome. And he's put in prison in Rome for preaching the gospel. That the Jewish people in Jerusalem didn't appreciate it. He was put in prison in Jerusalem for a couple years. He appealed to Nero. He was brought. He's awaiting to finally approach Nero. They're waiting for people to come to accuse him. And now he's been in prison for almost 4 years total. Now, if you were put in a prison just because you were witnessing, how would your zeal really be if it was left up to you? Would you be really saying, you know, I can't wait to go get the next door? Or do you think that you might need someone to pray that you still have boldness? You know, there are some times that you get the little slap on the wrist. Maybe the door slammed in your face, someone reject a track. We remember one time that we were out witnessing and Serena, probably about 4 years old, passed out a track to someone, and that person took the track in front of her, ripped it up, and threw it at her feet. You understand, there are some discouragements. How do we overcome that? Prayer. Paul is saying, pray for me. Pray for me that I have boldness, that I may speak as I ought to speak. Pray for me that I keep telling people about the Lord. Because you understand, it's not always easy. But how are we going to win the fight? Prayer. Pray for me. By the way, when's the last time you really got down and prayed for your pastor that he would have the boldness to go witness to everyone? That he would have the boldness to speak? That he would have the boldness to take advantage of every opportunity? That God would empower the man of God he's placed in our life? That we're going to pray for our pastor to pray? When's the last time you took time to pray for you? That you would have boldness to go tell people about the Lord? That you would have the boldness to be able to speak to people. And I understand there's people who are naturally shy, but you understand that's not an excuse. All of us have a responsibility of telling people about the Lord, to pass out a tract, to invite them to church, to do something to get the gospel into their hands. That we're supposed to be bold in witnessing, bold in telling people about the Lord, and it's done by prayer. Notice again in verse 19, and for me, so pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. That basically he's saying that I be able to speak, that I be able, the words come out, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of God. He says, pray for me that I have the boldness to tell everyone about the wonderful gospel. Verse number 20, for I am an ambassador in bonds. That's his way of saying, I'm in chains. I'm God's ambassador in prison right now. Please pray for me that I could go tell everyone, the guards, that I could tell the lawyers that come, everyone that comes my way. You understand that there were people coming and visiting Paul, some out of curiosity, some just to check on him. And people were coming by, and everyone that came by, Paul said, pray for me that I could talk to them. Pray for me that I have the boldness. Pray for me that I could take advantage of every divine opportunity, that I could remain bold in witnessing. He says, church, I want you to join with me in my opportunities by praying for me that I could speak boldly as I ought to speak. You understand that when we fail to be bold in witnessing, it is because we failed to pray. Go back to Acts chapter 5 at your own time, and you see the first century church has been arrested. Many of them have been arrested for preaching the gospel. And they whipped them and told them, don't you tell about Jesus no more. Now, like most of us, they were saying, well, we're kind of scared. We don't want to go tell people about the Lord, but we know we should. And you know what they did? They prayed. And if you notice in Acts chapter 5, that when they prayed, God filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they went out telling the gospel boldly. You understand? Our boldness doesn't come out of personality. Our boldness comes by prayer. And God getting the victory. God speaking through us. God in his Holy Spirit enabling us. It is God that does it. The battleground is going to be won or lost on our knees. Our church advancing forward is going to advance forward or stop growing on our knees. The most important business any of us can do is not witnessing, it is praying. Now, witnessing is important. I'm not erasing that. But you understand, more important is praying. 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 And if we were to be honest with ourselves, we do lack power. If we were to be honest with ourselves, we're not seeing as much victory as we ought to see. And is it because we're sinful heathens? No. It is because of our lack of prayer. Our lack of prayer. So what needs to change? we need to pray more. And we understand that we could give an invitation and right then and there we could have people come in the altar and say, all right, Lord, help me to pray more. And that sounds good, but you know what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. What needs to happen tonight is that you need to make a decision of where you're going to pray at, when you're going to pray, how long you're going to pray, how you're going to keep yourself from being distracted, and then keep that decision. That's what needs to happen tonight. We all recognize, every single one of us, there's not a person in here that says, you know what, my prayer life is good enough. We all recognize that. What needs to be decided is what is going to be done about it. When are you going to pray? Where are you going to pray? Remember, that's important. We need that closet prayer. Where are you going to pray at? Make an appointment with God, just like you would make an appointment with your doctor. If you tell your doctor that, all right, I got an appointment at 8 o'clock, you know where you're going to go, what time you're supposed to go, and you're going to meet with him, right? That is the appointment you're set up. You need to make the same thing with God. This is where I'm going to meet you at, when I'm going to meet you at, and what's all going to be involved there. And you give your full attention to God. That's the first step. We're not looking for 10 steps down the road. We're looking what is next for us. We need to have that closet prayer settled, set up, and used. If this church is going to advance forward, it's going to be based off the prayer life of its people. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.